We are one, we are love, and we're all woven together.
Hello, party people. Welcome back to the Woven in Truth podcast. I am Mallory Melcher-Post, your host. And we are so thrilled you are just spending some of your time and attention with us today. It means a lot. And we always strive to just, you know, produce meaningful, spiritually helpful content. And we hope that's what you always receive when you listen. Thank you for being so supportive. You guys are awesome. I also wanted to give you a quick heads up that soon you might be hearing some ads on our episodes we release. That's only because we're just trying to cover costs. Hopefully it's not a big deal. Just want to give you a heads up if you're like, oh, this isn't normal. But yeah, we're going to try that out and see how it goes. So anyways, let's jump into this episode. It is such a treat. We've released dozens of episodes and I'm legitimately obsessed with like every single woman I get to interview. But recently somebody asked me who's one of the easiest people to talk to. And without hesitation, I said this woman's name. So what a stinking treat. Elizabeth Lang Thompson is back, people. Hi, Elizabeth. Thank you for being here.
Hi. Well, I feel the same way about you. You are so fun to talk to. I totally look forward to it every time. Like, I almost have to write books as an excuse to, like, hang out with you.
Oh, on I love that. Zoom. Well, keep it coming. Keep it coming. I appreciate that you spend months and months of preparation for these just for me. Just for me.
Just for you. It's all for you.
You are awesome. Thank you so much for always making time for me. How have you been? What's been going on in your life?
Oh, man. I have been good.
Yeah?
No, we've been really good. It's a uniquely hectic time of life, but in a really like rich, full, good, fun way. Mm-hmm. I actually have three in high school together this year.
Wow. All at the same time?
All at the same time, like for this 1 year, we have a senior, junior, and freshman. Oh. And then I have my little caboose who's in fifth grade, her last year of elementary school. So we are just having all the feels, all the time, all the experiences, the firsts, the lasts, the onlys. And so it's very emotionally intense. And I cry in good ways a lot.
Yeah.
Because I just, you know, I'm trying to savor it all. I'm trying really hard to be present in the midst of all of it.
Oh my goodness. I can't imagine. I know mine's only five, but she had, you know, she's in her little kindergarten thing. And she's getting her little award, you know, and I'm like melting. I'm like, wait, you're supposed to be a baby, you know? So I can't imagine, but that sounds fun and crazy. So way to go. And expensive. High schoolers are really expensive.
Oh my goodness. I literally was like, okay, so should I go get a job bagging groceries? Like, I have been pondering this very seriously.
You're like, I need a little extra income. And now I feel like all these high schoolers are like passing the awkward stage and they're going straight into like wanting quality stuff. Like, I was totally content shopping at Forever 21 and like buying like horrific makeup at CVS, you know, like, and now the game has changed. Like, they're going straight into the like quality items. So I just need to appreciate that Ellie is still very happy to go to the dollar store. So I will, you know, you're helping me stay present here. So
enjoy it while it lasts.
That's right.
The dollar store phase.
I will definitely
for a long time.
I love it.
But I will say, you can also teach them the value of Plato's Closet and, you know, like,
oh, the like secondhand.
So like, you can get quality stuff, but you're going to get it thrifted.
I love it. I love it. I need to think about that more, actually. Okay. So cool. You have a new book releasing this week, When a Friendship Falls Apart. And I love the subtitle, right? It says, Finding God's Path for Healing, Forgiveness, and Maybe Help Letting Go. Whoa. So friendship in general, such a gift from God. I love that God's so relational. One of my favorite things about him. And then he creates that in us too, the potential, the capability, even the desire to be relational. But it's also a gift that involves humans. And so it's beautiful, but it's also messy and complicated, right? So I think this is so cool. Why did you want to write this? I know it's actually kind of a tough topic. It's not like a fun, fluffy one. Why did you want to write it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, to be honest, I had to pray really hard. I did a lot of thinking, got you know, advice from my friends and family mm-hmm. as I was pondering this. This book did come about a little bit differently than some of my others. You know, sometimes I've really had something heavy on my heart and I've gone to my publisher and said, hey, yeah. here's what, you know, I want to write next. But they actually really saw a need and said, you know, we have noticed that this is a struggle that a lot of Christian women have. Mm-hmm. And there are not resources for this.
It's
and,
true. It's
you know,
true.
We know you don't mind the deep, the heavy, the complicated, messy stuff. I was like, mm-hmm. I think, thank you. And they were like, so how do you feel about tackling this? And, you know, I spent some time praying about it. I mean, not coincidentally at all. I was in the middle of really praying, like, God, what do you want me to do next? And so this felt like he was answering my prayer. But then I looked back on my own story and my own history of friendships, and friendship is like really important to me. Like yeah. I yeah. typically keep my friends forever and ever. Amen. Yeah. But I have had friendships fall apart for various reasons. Sometimes completely out of my control. Sometimes, you know, there have been a few times, and I share about one of these stories in the book where I was just completely blindsided. You know, I've experienced being ghosted, like all the things. And then too, because I've worked in various ministry capacities as a volunteer and sometimes on staff, I've worked with a lot of women who have just had hard things happen in friendships. And right. it's such a hard and lonely thing, because I think we feel a sense of shame and embarrassment
yeah,
when it
totally.
Happens. Like, is something totally. Wrong with me? Am I not lovable? Do I not get along well with people? Like,
right,
what?
Right.
Is everybody judging me for this? So I really wanted to provide the friend that you need when you're going through this or trying to figure out something messy in a friendship, a safe place to process, to get next steps, to pray, to figure out where does God land on all this. So that is really what this book is meant to be.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I think your publisher's right. Like there are not resources for this. Like I just was thinking back and I'm like, most of the time, I mean, yeah, there's a lot on friendship, but it's usually with the assumption that everything's going well, or mm-hmm. like you just need to like, I don't know, bear with one another or like, you know, but then when it feels messy, you get really confused because it's like, this feels a lot harder than what I'm finding, you know, and more complicated. Yeah. And then like, particularly, I'm just curious, like in society, like our society and stuff, like we are, as Christians, this can be a difficult tension to hold because we're kind of in this like cancel culture a little bit, right?
Yes.
But then as Christians, we're trying to hold space for like, loyalty and, you know what I mean? Like forgiveness and, like I said, bearing with one another and like forgiveness and all these things. Like, where should we land in that tension?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, that's a great question.
Sorry, curveball.
It's a great question. And I think the truth is, you know, we always want to side with Jesus.
Yes.
And
yes.
Jesus always sided with forgiveness and grace and more chances than we feel comfortable giving to other people.
True.
I mean, when Peter came to him and said, well, hey, how many times do I forgive somebody who sins against me? Up to 7 times. I mean, I think Peter was like, I am going above and beyond here, Jesus.
Yes,
like,
seven's a lot.
I'm using the number 7 to represent completion and perfection. And Jesus is like, I want the nth degree of completion,
yeah.
like the complete times. You forgive as many times as you can.
Right, right.
But there's a big, big but there. because the truth is, one of the things I talk about in the book is that I think God's ideals, his ideality, which is not really a word, but we'll pretend, his ideality doesn't always line up with our reality. Like
right.
I've tried to reconcile with people before who have not wanted to reconcile.
Exactly. Exactly. Like there's another person on the other end of that with complete agency and their own philosophies and values that we're working with. And so you're right. It's not this like perfect step one, step two, step three.
Yeah, it's not, it's messy because it's people and it's feelings.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think sometimes it just, it can't work out in spite of our best intentions, our best efforts. And sometimes I do think, and this is complicated, it's hairy, and I can't speak into everybody's personal, you know, specific situation, right. But sometimes I do think friendships fall apart and they bring to the surface a real dysfunction.
Yes.
In the dynamic. And, yes. And sometimes it's not best to step back into that, the kind of closeness that you had for various reasons.
Right.
But I, one of the things I talk about in the book is there's a difference. I think we can find a sense of resolution.
Yeah.
And peace and resolve and forgiveness even when you cannot restore the friendship to its former glory or what you wish it could be. Right. I think there are ways of bringing about peace and forgiveness where you there's nothing, you wish each other well, even if things are a little different than they used to be.
Totally. And I'm trying to appreciate that too. Like, I mean, the Bible talks about that. There's seasons for things, right? Like,
yes.
And I feel like just because something changes or evolves doesn't mean it takes away any of the value of what that was in different times and how God put this person in your life or you in theirs. So just curious too, like as people are listening, who's the book for? Is it just for people like who are smack dab in the middle of like friendship crisis or like, is it more broad than that?
It is more broad than that. I will say like early in the book, I have a chapter called triage that is specifically for the person who is like, I am walking around with an open wound. Like my heart is bleeding all over the floor. Like, please help me stop the bleeding so I can just start to process. And so I do try to provide really practical tools for like, what do you do first?
Okay.
If that's you, you're picking up this book because you're like, I'm in crisis. Right. I don't know what to do. But it's also for the woman who you've got some regrets in your past and you've got these sort of wounds that keep reopening and won't completely heal and you don't feel resolved. I mean, and I think that is how a friendship loss feels. We grieve it for a long time. The closer the friendship, the longer you're going to grieve, you know, and, and perhaps because you spent months and months trying to work it out. And if you weren't able to, or you kept reaching out and the person just, you know, refused your advances. I mean, that's a long-term wound. So it's really meant to help you move through the grief process wherever you are, but also to give you super practical steps forward, healing, leaning into your walk with God. If you are still in a place where reconciliation could be possible, what might that look like? What might a conversation starter even be?
Yeah, totally.
Because it's hard to know even like, where do I start? What do I say?
Yeah, like so, literally tell me what to say.
Yeah, and I do. I have scripts.
Like, I love that.
Like, try saying something like this because, and I talk about watching your pronouns and not like lobbing accusations, but you know,
like I statements and whatnot. I love that. And I
when this happened, I felt this instead of you did this.
Yes, that is so real. And sometimes I need that practice, especially when stuff is like elevated. Because it can feel so intentional and so, but then I can start making a lot of assumptions and have my own set of expectations, right? And that's a lot of what the stuff is. It's like you're trying to bring together two different humans with our all these different things that are hard to communicate sometimes and articulate. So I'm super grateful for that. And I like that it hits both of those types of wounds, like maybe they're really deep, like you said, like very significant bleeding wounds that are in desperate need of deep and long repair. And then like also just people that are trying to navigate this stuff in general. Cause I feel like for women, even as the older I get, the more I realize how many people, this is a friendship is a very complicated thing for a lot of people. I mean, they have apps, Elizabeth, for people just looking for friends. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that's like, so this is something people really feel deeply. And then it's also the older I get, the more I notice patterns in myself and other people that I'm close to, we start developing in our friendships. So it's something we want to be intentional about. And obviously this is something God really cares about. So I think it's great that we're kind of shining some light on it. I really like the metaphor you use in the book You kind of use the story of a broken mug. Can you tell us how a broken mug relates to the experience of having a broken or cracked friendship?
Yes. So, okay. So this is something that happened to me several years ago. I was at my friend's house and I had just driven there. It was like a 6-hour drive. So I there, I'm exhausted. Yeah. Like, I'm not a good long road tripper by myself.
So oh, you were by yourself? So oh, wow.
With my daughter, but okay, you know, okay, as the only driver. So, so I get there and her sweet, sweet husband was like, let me make you both a cup of tea. Like, the sweetest. So he brings in, we're both, I'm like in her new favorite armchair, and he brings us both a mug of tea and hands me mine. And I mean, it's fresh out of the teapot, like so hot.
Yeah.
And I grab it and I hear this weird like sound. And then the next thing I know, I am covered in scalding tea. Like my clothes are sticking to me, burning my skin. I'm bleeding.
Oh,
I'm holding the mug in one hand, like half empty, and the handle in the other. The handle had split from the mug. Never happened to me before in my life. I never met another human that that had happened to. And so, you know, I'm like yelling and my friend's like, why are you throwing tea around the room? Why are you screaming? Like, when the chaos subsided, like I was okay. I wasn't like fully burned. The cut was not that bad. It was fine. But the funniest thing happened. The next morning, I wake up. I'm still at my friend's house. I go to get myself a cup of coffee in the morning, and I find myself looking at the coffee mug with great distrust.
Yes.
Not because, and my friend always feels a little wounded when I say that. I'm like, it's not your mugs. It's all mugs. Like, but I'm looking at this mug and I'm like, wait, is there like some invisible crack in yes, this mug and yes, in all mugs? Mm-hmm. And so I went to pick it up by the handle and I like felt actual anxiety in my stomach. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it two-handed. And I just brought my other hand to support the bottom of the mug. And at first I just thought this was like a temporary thing because the, you know, burning was so fresh in my mind.
And on your body.
But this, this two-handed mug hold became an unconscious habit because this one time that I had been burned just kept haunting me and making me like I had no reason to distrust all the other mugs. They had never let me down in all of my many years of happy tea and coffee drinking. But now that I had been burned the one time, I found myself looking with mistrust at all mugs. And I think that's what happens to us when we are hurt in one friendship. The memory of being burned can really distort the way we see other people.
Yeah.
We start cupping those friendships two-handed. Like we put guards up and safeguards and we have a back door and we're like, I'm just going to stay a little safer in this friendship. I'm not going to be vulnerable. I'm not going to really share what I want to share because I don't want to get burned again. And that's one of the big things I'm trying to minister to in this book is don't grab for you all your other friendships two-handed. Like you can still have great friendships even if one has let you down, or maybe several have let you down.
Right.
There's still great friendships to be had out there.
That is so profound. I feel like, and the metaphor couldn't be better, because I think there's also that level of kind of disillusionment, right? After the first big break, you're like, oh, now I'm waking up to the reality of life, right? Kind of this like, now I get it. People don't really, you know, when they say they care, they don't really, like, I can get like that and then start using that brush to just paint over all of my relationships, you know, and like kind of looking at people with that suspicion or that like kind of getting ready to be let down again and not wanting to get my hopes up. And so I think that's really profound that you brought that up, even if it was stuff that happened a long time ago. And it's not just, you're right, we don't just direct it towards the same person. It can start really changing and distorting things and maybe even unhealthy ways that prevent us from really embracing gifts that God is trying to give us and appreciate things in people, you know, without just assuming. Like, I just feel like if I get burned by one person or one kind of like, especially if it's in a certain sphere of community, mm-hmm. I can start applying that to other people within that same sphere. Like, yes. Okay, if this is what they did, then I start kind of like, I don't know. I think it makes sense because when we're wounded, we're hurt and we really don't want to, you know, be in that position again anytime right. soon. But it can start affecting us big time mm-hmm. and affecting our other relationships or potential ones. So I think that's pretty profound that you brought that up. How do you think, the way we talk about it, it's like loss. It's something to grieve and mourn, right? Mm-hmm. Like, especially if it's like done, like it's just broken, moved on, whatever.
Yeah.
How do you think friendship loss is different than other types of loss? Like whether that be like significant other, like a breakup like that, or even like big ones, like splitting, mm-hmm. like divorce, death, maybe grieving, you know, the actual loss of a life. Mm-hmm. How do you think it's different, you know, and maybe how is it also the same?
You know, I think of it as a divorce that no one can see. It's a very lonely and private loss. It's just not something like Hallmark doesn't make a friendship breakup card. You know what I mean? Like they probably make, you know, I'm sorry about your divorce cards, but no one makes a I'm sorry your friendship blew up card.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry you got betrayed or, you know, let down or whatever.
Right.
And it's very hard to talk about. You're not going to post on social media, I need prayers because my bestie and I aren't talking right now, or I hurt her feelings and she won't let me apologize, or whatever. You know, you fill in the blank with your scenario. You can't post about that. And here's where it gets super tricky. You kind of touched on this. A lot of times our friendships are intertwined with a larger group of relationships and friends. And so it's right. like you really can't talk about it to your usual people because you're going to make people feel awkward. You're going to make people take sides. It could descend and devolve into gossip and unrighteousness, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but you still need help processing it. Like you need mm-hmm. to be able to get advice. And so it's super, super tricky. And like, mm-hmm. I've talked to people who are like my work friends, church friends, and friend, you know, neighbors, like are all in the same circle. I don't know where to go. Like mm-hmm. this friendship touches everything in my life and there's no safe place. So, right. We talk a lot in the book about God being your safe place, but also like intentionally cultivating a safe place to get guidance if you do need it.
Okay.
And that could even be from a counselor. I mean, yeah. I know someone who I share about this person in the book. There was no safe place in their existing relationships. They had to go get a counselor to just kind of let them air it out safely. Right. So we talk about a lot of that kind of thing because it's tricky.
Right. And that, I mean, that hits on the enmeshment that can happen in these things where it's like, it is such a loss because it affects everything. And then if you feel trapped in that, it's like really hard. You know, you feel so isolated in that. Yes. Cause it wouldn't, I mean, this is what's hard for me too. It's like, sometimes it's just not like, I want to process these things, but like I can't figure out the appropriate place to do so. Right.
Yes.
Like if I am blasting somebody on, that would be very inappropriate. That would not right. be a healthy way either. So mm-hmm. it just feels unclear. And I think you're right. It's this like kind of, it's super significant, but it's not an easy one to process, you know, and in a safe yeah. place. So I like that you're saying that you hit on that, you know, obviously we need and can draw near to God in that time, but also mm-hmm. that you hit that too, like cultivating that. So forgiveness, can we talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Okay.
The juiciest of the words. It's forgiveness in relational tension, I feel like can be difficult and also super unclear. Like what do I forgive versus what is just like a boundary I need to have or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, like I also thinking, I'm going to be careful how I say this, but I think in church culture, we kind of think we're supposed to like spiritually bypass our humanity, like, and just kind of like bypass how hard and layered this stuff can be. like, what do you think are some of the maybe like myths around this that we have to debunk in order to like truly forgive, like really forgive, not just like say I forgive and like just be like internalizing everything. But like, what do you think are some of those things we really need to debunk or address?
Yeah. Well, I mean, forgiveness is very hard. And I think it's no coincidence that Jesus talked about it a lot, because he knew how much we struggle with it. I mean, he brought it up repeatedly.
Like, true. That's true.
And I will share, like, one of the most life-changing revelations that I had in a time in my life, when I was needing to forgive someone and really battling bitterness in my heart, I started thinking about how Jesus said, you know, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And I think in my mind, I had always kind of thought of that as like righteous to do. Check. I prayed for the person I don't want to pray for.
Right.
Like, just, you know, mention them in prayer.
Yes.
But I started thinking to myself, like, wait, what if there's more to it? What if this is Jesus saying this is actually a way out of bitterness? And so I just decided to obey and to pray every day for this person. I was actually several people who were involved in a really complicated, messy situation. And I just was like, I'm just going to pray for them every day. And I don't really want to. That's the last thing I want to do, actually. But let me tell you, it really protected my heart. I think praying for someone you're needing to forgive, it is empowering, because you might not be able to change what they're doing or whether or not they're willing to talk to you, but you know that you're getting the attention of God, who can change the situation, who can influence your heart and the other person's heart. It allows you to kind of release that sense of control and that feeling of being trapped that sometimes we can have. It's really, really powerful. So I will say, just starting out with that, try praying. That I think that's a really powerful tool that Jesus gave us. It's kind of this little nugget hidden into his teachings that sometimes we don't realize that it's for us. It's to help our hearts.
Right. Because bitterness, what is that saying? Like, it's kind of like when we're bitter, it's like drinking the poison, but like hoping the other person suffers.
Yes.
Like, we're miserable.
You're the one suffering. Yes, you're the one whose heart is like shriveling up and you're feeling all this horrible stuff inside, and the other person's fine. Like, yeah, they don't even know you're feeling that, you know? But you had asked about myths, and I do think something, this is hard, but I think sometimes we tell ourselves, you know, I can't forgive this person until they really get what they put me through.
Yes.
They get how I felt.
Until they understand. Yeah.
Yes. And hey, would that be helpful? Would that help you heal? It probably would. Yeah. You know, it would probably take the edge off. But it's also just, it may be impossible. It's probably not realistic. Because the truth is, even if they get to a place where they want to know how much they hurt you and they want to make it right, they can't step inside your heart and feel everything you felt. Like,
exactly.
It's an impossible desire.
Yeah.
Let's remember too, like Romans 5:3, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Like, Jesus offered us a path to forgiveness and reconciliation when we had no idea we even needed one.
Right.
And he does not wait to say, until you get how much I hurt on the cross and what it felt like to carry your sin, I'm not forgiving you. Jesus doesn't do that to us. And so we don't have the right to do it to anyone else.
Totally.
And that's a hard truth.
Yeah.
But I do think that when you release that expectation, it sets you free to start forgiving.
Right.
I also think sometimes there's a myth that, like, forgiveness is something that you feel. In my experience, forgiveness is something you decide.
Ooh.
Your feelings are going to take a while
to
catch up with that choice.
Yeah.
Like, you have automatically, like, you have some automatic responses now mm-hmm. to that person because mm-hmm. of the hurt, especially if it's been a long time. Mm-hmm. So you're like, when you hear their name, even if you have surrendered and said, I forgive you in prayer, mm-hmm. like you're automatically still going to feel some of that old stuff. Totally. So my experience has been forgiveness is a decision you don't just make once.
Yeah.
But you renew it day by day in prayer and you say, nope, I'm sticking with that decision. Eventually my feelings are going to catch up.
Yep.
But this is a choice and a sacred offering that I am making to God.
Yep.
And eventually my feelings will do what they're going to do. Yeah, you know?
Totally.
And then I think the last one, you kind of touched on this, and there's more in the book, but the last one that I would love to touch on here is, I think we have this myth that forgiveness means I have to step back into relationship with that person the same way I was before. And, right. and that's not always possible mm-hmm. and it's not always best
or healthy. So, yeah.
You know, I mean, friendship is a gift, not an obligation. Like we are called to love people. Jesus doesn't command that we be best friends with mm-hmm. every person. Mm-hmm. He says, you just got to love them.
Yep.
So, you know, and that's where I think wise counsel and the people in your life who know you best can help you sort through some of that. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes if we take the pressure off ourselves, like, oh no, if I forgive her, that means I have to like give her full access to my life again.
Yeah.
That might not be the best thing. Nope. And that's okay. You can forgive her without being BFFs again. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up. Cause I do feel like that's what used to be so hard for me is like, it felt contradictory. Like I thought that was the right thing to do was like, oh, forgive and forget. Let, you know, try to preserve things in a way that feels counter the spirit even in me. Like this feels unhealthy or this feels whatever. And I think I would try to bypass that stuff in the name of doing what I feel like God's calling me to. But I feel like it's this practicing of like, really God honoring boundaries that we have to like really create space to figure out like what is he calling us to, what's going to honor him and honor his scriptures. Cause I love that you're preserving like fidelity to like his commands and even like forgiving in the same way Jesus forgave us, which I'm like, wow, I'll never even know a little bit of what that is like. Mm-hmm. However, it's like this kind of holding that tension of, but how do I love well? You know, I don't know. I also like the way, I think it's Calvin Townsend talks about boundaries where it's not about pushing you, you know, in quotes away. It's, I need these to help me hold together. You know what I mean? Like how do I stay and steward, the life and mind and heart God gave me well, so I can love you, you know, and so I can honor God and not, you know, just sit in this place where I'm doing the right things, but I'm feeling awful all the time or have all this sin building up in my heart or bitterness right. or calluses, you know, I think that's huge, but it is so hard, but it's not a quick process to figure that out. Right. Like, but what's, it sounds like though, is that your book gives good framework so people can do these things and explore in a way that honors their specific situations, and questions they can ask and consider and pray through. Oh, can we backtrack for a second? You talked about praying for people. Okay, I feel silly. I'm in my 30s. What do you pray for them for?
I'm so happy you asked that question.
Yes. Sometimes it's like, okay, I pray that they realize that they've been treating me like garbage.
Okay, so when I first started, the first time I was like, okay, I'm going to try to obey Jesus in this situation. It makes me laugh now to think about, but I honestly thought I was supposed to like pray blessings upon their head or something. Like,
yes.
And so that is what I did at first.
I pray someone buys their coffee.
Give them good things and joy. And I almost felt sick to my stomach praying that. But over time, my prayers changed and they became very just honest, like,
okay,
Lord, here's what I see in this relationship, but I also recognize that they may be acting from a place of hurt that I don't see. There may be more to this story. If there is, please show it to me. So if I need to apologize, mm-hmm. if I need to do more on my end, please bring that to light.
Wow.
So it like helped me embrace, like step into a more humble posture instead of a just, I am a victim and I'm pointing the finger in prayer at this person.
Right.
It forced me to a more humble, like open-minded posture that I might not be comfortable having with that person in person, but in prayer I could.
Yes. Yes. Totally.
And then I would pray. I would say, God, here's what I see. I recognize that I am not you and I might be misjudging this, but I really feel like what they are doing is wrong. And I pray that you will prompt their heart to change. And I pray that you will move in their heart to engage in more productive conversation. So I just prayed about everything that I saw that I thought was needed, that I, you know, knew I didn't see. And that's why I say it was so empowering, because it was like, I was talking to God about like all the things I wished we could talk about, but couldn't.
Right.
It was like, okay, God, here's what I see, here's what I think, but open my mind. And it was really healing for me. I never did get to have a conversation with those people, but I do know.
Oh, wow. You
know, like, I don't know if God answered my prayers in their life or not, but I know that he protected my heart and I did not become bitter. I was so tempted, but I did not. And I feel like those prayers set me free.
Wow.
So, and I actually have in the book, I have some model prayers. Like, here's what this might sound like in your situation.
Cool. That's so cool. Cause I kind of know, you're supposed to pray for them, but like, I either would go one side or the other, like God, just forgive me, like help me forgive them or whatever, you know, help me. And then I would just try to like kind of bash myself, like, oh, I'm such a sinner. Who am I to be mad, you know? But then like that only goes so far. Cause I just, in my humanity, I wish that was enough. I shouldn't make fun of that. Cause some people, like, they're just that righteous. They can do that. But I'm not one of them. What you're frameworking, I think, is so actually meaningful and helpful, because then like we kind of experienced that recently. Like, me and my husband were about to go into this like really difficult conversation. We were feeling really hurt, all this stuff, and it just all felt so messy. And honestly, I couldn't even figure out in my head, how is this going to end well? Like, I didn't even have like a hope of it. I just was like, this is so messy and I am so hurt. And I just don't think we're ever going to get on the same page. Kind of like what you're talking about. Like, I don't think this person is ever going to actually understand how they make me feel. And you know what? I still think that. However, we just prayed a lot, and something very spiritual and honestly unexplainable, like, changed in my, honestly, I think it was just God changed my posture going into that. And I changed my expectations from them receiving me in a certain way, which I had already given up hope on, to just, God, what do you want to happen here? Like in my heart, in this relationship, like, what do, like, I do hope they see these things, but even if they don't, like, how can I walk away from this in a way that honors you? You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
And I think that was so cool, because that was the best thing that could have happened for me. And then my heart was not at the mercy of the outcome of that conversation.
Yes.
Which was pretty special. So I think it's so cool that you're literally scripting out some different things and directions. Cause on my own, at least, I'm a, like, depending on what state I'm in, it's gonna change, you know, like what I'm even praying for in those times. But I think that's really special. Any thoughts on what I just said?
Well, I love that example. And I do think that that is what prayer does. It changes our perspective, because, you know, we can only see it from our view. We don't know what's going on in the other person's heart. We may think we do. We may be like, I see exactly what's going on here. But when we bring it to God in a, like, trusting that God loves me and he sees me and he hears me, he also loves that other person. He sees and hears them. It really just brings the temperature down. The other specific thing that I have learned to pray in really complicated conversations like that is I will pray, especially with another, well, only with another believer. This is, you can only pray this. I will say, God, the Holy Spirit lives in them. And the Holy Spirit lives in me. And I know that he wants unity above all else. And so I invite him in.
yeah,
to do what he does. I know yep. that you want us united. I don't see a way for that to happen, but I beg you to let the Spirit do his work in their heart and in mine, and whatever that looks like to bring right. us together, I right. pray he will work. And I am telling you, I have prayed that now in so many complicated, scary conversations that I haven't wanted to have. And every single time, like, I may not walk away like, you know, BFFs holding hands forever, making friendship bracelets, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I always walk away feeling like I saw the Spirit at work
yeah.
and he did bring us closer together than I thought we could come. And that is amazing. You know, sometimes right. just complicated right. life situations, ministry situations, counseling situations. Mm-hmm. I have really seen the Holy Spirit work in when I've prayed those prayers.
That is so cool. And I think that's something we underutilize a lot. And I just think there is that element of remembering that changed my posture too, even recently in my thing. I had to remember, there's that quote I love, it's like you'll never look into the eyes of someone God does not love, because when I try to remember that, it helps me posture like, okay, this is someone God loves, cares about, has worked, you know, and they have a whole life with a lot of experiences and things like that. It helps me be compassionate, but I also don't want to be a doormat, because I think sometimes
right
there used to be this narrative of like, trust the Spirit in others, but doubt it in yourself. Mm. Like, I don't think that was ever said, but I felt that. I don't know if you've ever felt that, but like kind yeah. of this, like this, and maybe it's just my personality type or whatever, where I'm a little more guilty, you know?
Yeah. Same.
But I think there is that balance and holding that of really trusting and empowering it in myself as well, but not questioning it in them either. And when you walk away, like you said, I don't think it's always, sometimes you are walking away. Do you know what I mean? Like that is the end of these situations and you aren't, you know, but there is a peace and a love and a wishing them well, you know what I mean? Like yes. that's so different yes. than that ended, and for years we're just seething, and you know what I mean? Like, cause that's not, and then we take that, you're right, that affects us, and then we're taking that person into all of our other relationships.
Yep. You know, I think it's encouraging that the Bible gives us several examples of some broken friendships like that. One in particular, Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas. Like,
yeah.
what in the world? These are brothers. Like, Barnabas brought Paul into the early church and was like, hey guys, I'm vouching for him. Like, he's not a spy infiltrating our ranks to kill us. Like, I trust him. You should trust him. They did ministry work together for years. They were the best of friends, the closest of partners. And then we had a disagreement over something that feels kind of like really gals.
Yeah.
They disagreed over whether or not Barnabas's nephew should come on their next missionary journey.
Right.
And the Bible says they disagreed so sharply that they parted ways. Barnabas took his nephew, Paul took Timothy, and they went separate ways. Like, whoa. And I am so grateful though that scripture includes that, because I think
right.
it shows us, you know what? Great men and women of God have hit impasses with each other and sometimes had to just say, all right, we're going to let God work on both of us, because neither of us sees the other person's perspective. We don't really know how it resolved. But we do have a little hint that it probably was, because in one of Paul's letters later, he says, bring John Mark to me because he's helpful in my ministry. And so it seems like some kind of healing, repair, restoration, yeah. reconciliation took place. We hope that. We yeah. choose to believe that.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful that that story is there for when our stories are a little bit messy and we just have to wish each other well and we're at an impasse. Like, I'm not seeing this differently. You're not seeing it differently. We're going to trust that God is going to work on both of us separately, but I wish you the best. And we're going to carry on serving the Lord in our different spheres.
And ultimately, I think that's what it comes down to. It's like trusting God to just be God in that situation.
Yes.
And like, I'm not putting my trust and my hope into this relationship working out. I'm entrusting myself to God himself, and then, you know, like letting the story unfold however he sees fit, you know, which is, I'm so glad you brought that up, because you're right. The Bible does have more of this stuff than, you know, it's like so easy to only look at the, like, I don't know the go-to scriptures on this stuff, but it is nuanced. And I think that's cool that the Bible doesn't pretend like it's not, you know, God, yep. Jesus gets it. Like, he loved and forgave when it was hard, you know, and it is hard sometimes. Not that our situations are the same, but amen. Yeah. I'll stop qualifying. So anyways, I have a question. Relationships in general are pretty risky. Why do you think they're worth it though? Like, what is your hope for the person who's going to read this book as they move forward?
Yeah. You know, my hope is that you can put your past to rest, that, you know, in time, and that may take you time, but that you can really let go of whatever, you know, residual stuff that you have from a particular friendship struggle or maybe a series of them, who knows? But that you are able to surrender that to God. Move past any regrets or shame that you may feel, or guilt, or man, I wish I, you know, I wish we woulda, coulda, shoulda, and it would be different. But that you're able to lay that to rest, and that you are able to reopen those rusty hinges of the doors of your heart, sweep out the cobwebs and step back into the world of friendship with an open heart. You know, because it is, I mean, you said it, like, friendship is worth it. It's not perfect. Like, I have a lot of amazing friendships that I've had, for some of which I've had for many years, some are newer. Not a single one of them is perfect. Like, sometimes I hurt their feelings, or they hurt mine, or we forget important dates, or we just miscue, misfire. Like, but they're still worth it. They still bring so much joy.
Totally.
And they make you feel seen and known. And it's so wonderful to have someone who is not biologically obligated to say, I love you in your life.
No, that is really, so true.
Really wonderful. And I think that there are great friends out there worth having.
Yeah.
One of the things I talk about, I tell the story of my daughter and me taking a walk on the beach and collecting shells, and I kept looking for the perfect shell. So, you know, I would only pick up a shell if it wasn't broken, if it was complete and whole, no cracks, you know. So, as you can imagine, I think I got two. Meanwhile, my daughter, like, I mean, she was like hyperventilating over the beauty of every cracked and broken shell.
Oh,
I mean, she's so pretty. Her pockets are full. My pockets are full of her sandy little shells. Like, at one point I was like, okay, we don't have any more room. You have to stop collecting shells. And she's like, oh, I can't. They're all so beautiful. Like, she literally walked back to our towel with her eyes trained on the sky so she wouldn't see any more beautiful shells to collect. She was like, I'll be too tempted. But I think there's a powerful metaphor there that maybe we need to stop looking for the perfect friend and just look for some other broken, cracked shells like we are, that aren't going to be perfect. And we don't have everything in common. And our dynamic isn't always exactly what we wish it was, but it's still beautiful.
Right.
And it adds to their life. It adds joy to ours. Mm-hmm. And it's the relationship that God designed us for. So I think beautiful friendship is out there to be had. Just stop looking for perfect.
I love that. That is literally the best metaphor ever. And she sounds adorable. And I'm more like you. And I think I grew up with that narrative that friendship is supposed to be that you find this one perfect friend and they meet every single need you have. And I think the more I've tried to embrace that, you know what, God, maybe there's, like you said, maybe it's not exactly in that mold that I thought it would be, but just because it's not doesn't mean I can't embrace what God has given me and the people he has put in my life. And what can I do to learn and grow from past friendships, good, bad, hard, whatever, to bring a more integrated person into these future relationships and give my heart, you know, and manage my expectations, you know?
Yeah.
That's huge. Oh my goodness. Well, I loved this conversation and I love this book. I'm so excited that people are going to get it in a time where they probably really need it. When does it come out and where can people find it?
So it releases on October 17th, 2023. So, yeah. And you can find it wherever you like to buy your books, whether that's Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Books A Million, ChristianBook.com, Walmart, like, it's all those places. And yeah, and I would just love to hear from readers when, you know, when you, if it speaks to you or you want prayers, just let me know how, if it's helping your heart, how it's helping your heart. I really love to hear from people.
Okay. Wow. That's amazing. Well, we are so excited for people to get their hands on it. We're going to put some links in the show notes. I know you mentioned you want people to let you know and connect with you. Where can they connect with you?
Yeah, I do a lot through my newsletter, which I'll give you that link and you can post that in your show notes.
But oh, cool.
You can access that through my website. I send out Bible studies and devotions and all kinds of like tools to just try to help all of us with life and relationships and all that stuff. I'm also active on Instagram, Elizabeth Lang Thompson. You can find me on Facebook, Elizabeth Lang Thompson Writer. I even have a YouTube channel that is,
she's everywhere, folks. She's everywhere.
I'm everywhere. All the usual suspects. I'm a little less frequent on YouTube, but I'm working on it. So
that's okay.
So you can find me pretty much wherever you like to get your social media. I'm probably there.
I love how accessible you are to all of us. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. I loved this conversation and I just love the way you articulate things. I love the way you write. I'm so excited for people to get their hands on this book, but also just your other content. I mean, everyone loves all the episodes we've done with you. People love the books. They always come back and say that was so helpful, or we, you know, we reread it, or in our church, we've used it for midweek series for the women and things like that. And I just think God's given you such a gift of communicating things that are so meaningful and, you know, correlate to his word in such a beautiful way, but also a practical way. So thank you so much for everything you do and all the content you give us that we just like totally eat up.
Oh, I love doing it. It's such a privilege. So, and thank you for letting me come and talk to you. You are one of my favorite people to talk to. I mean, I love talk to you all day. So
yeah, keep writing so we can keep recording. That's okay. That's how we'll wrap this up. But thank you again for your time, Elizabeth, and everybody that listened. We're just going to wrap up with a simple reminder that whatever you're facing today, you aren't facing it alone. I love remembering that our God is an ever-present help in times of trouble, but also in our good times, in our times of celebration. And he's a good shepherd and a phenomenal friend to us in every season of life. So thank you so much for spending some time listening to the podcast, and we will catch you next time on Woven in Truth.
We are one. We are love.